Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to be in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. So let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 21 together. And we'll look at one verse as we begin our study today on the Pastor Study. The title of our study today is The Tearless Heaven. The Tearless Heaven. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 4. The Word of God has this to say, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I don't know how many of you, but I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have shed tears, amen, in your life at one time or another, be it at the grave of a loved one, maybe it was a spouse or a child or a brother, a sister, mother, a father. Maybe it was tears of pain from illness or some kind of loss. Maybe your spouse of many years left you. Maybe you're in financial ruin. Or whatever it may be, amen, we've all shed tears, amen, at one time or another. Well, what will heaven and our future state be like, amen, as we talk about the tearless heaven? In our present mental capacities, we are unable to fully understand what the eternal state will be like. God's Word gives us little pictures of what life will be like in heaven. In our text, God is showing us a place that is nothing but total joy. Over there on the other side, my friend, in the sweet by and by, not a sigh of disappointed hope will be heard. Yes, my friend, no tears of unfulfilled desire will be seen. Sorrow and sighing will have fled away because God, my friend, God has wiped away all tears from our eyes. Some facts about tears. Our grief is sometimes so severe that tears come as a relief to wash away our grief. Tears, my friend, are the visible signs of the heart's sorrow. To say that God will wipe away all our tears is to declare that every cause of sorrow shall be taken away. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Grief and tears have but one primary source, and that is sin. No tears, my friend, ever fell in the Garden of Eden until sin came. It was the depravity of man that caused the first flood of tears. Heartache was not known until the serpent had conquered the human will. Until that serpent is restrained and sin is banished, human grief will never be extinct. Grief, my friend, will never vanish until the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, binds up every wound, and God wipes away every tear. You see, no tears can come where there is no sin. There'll be no tears in heaven. You see, this old world is full of sin, and therefore many tears are shed daily. Sin has robbed us of so much happiness and honor. Sin has made a great gulf between God and man. Sin has robbed us of all hopes. Sin, my friend, has covered the human race with a coat of sadness. Our world might well be called a valley of tears. And it does not take a keen perception to recognize the sin that is all around us. The social and political vices that fester all around us. The small jealousies that keep families apart. The blood that is so readily shed. The rights which we should enjoy but are often trampled down. Sure we can call a world. Surely we can call such a world a valley of tears or a howling wilderness. All tears are the result of sin. But you know what? It's not always wrong to weep. When a sinner weeps over his sins, it is well. When a Christian weeps over his shortcomings, it is well. When a Christian weeps over another Christian who has fallen into sin, it is well. Amen. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 5, what Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, look with me in verse number 4, Matthew 5. Jesus says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." These are mourners that God has given this promise to, that God shall wipe away all tears. Amen. These tears are the sign of severed love. Amen. My friend, whatever the source of our tears, they shall be wiped away in heaven someday. Tears, my friend, are caused by many things. We see there's the tears of failure. Amen. The tears of failure. Look with me in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Amen. We are told in Matthew 26, verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and he wept bitterly. Oh, the tears of failure roll down the cheeks of Peter. It says he not only wept, but he wept bitterly. He realized what he had done. Amen. The apostle, the great talker that said he would never deny the Lord, that he would be died with him. Amen. Here he is, weeping. Weeping tears of failure. He denied his Lord and Savior. Then also we see tears. Another source of tears, amen, is tears from defective friendships. Amen. Look what the Apostle Paul said with me in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul wrote, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Amen. We read in the epistles of Paul that at one time Demas was a good friend of Paul. And I believe that Paul cried, he shed tears when he made this statement about Demas, how Demas, who was once his friend, had forsaken him for this present world. Amen. We see another source, amen, of tears is the tears of affliction in suffering. We know that God heard the cries, the tears of his people in bondage in Egypt. And he sent Moses to deliver them. Amen. We also see that Jonah cried. Amen. Look with me in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, my friend. Look with me in Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2, and verses 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardst my voice. Amen. We see the tears of Jonah, tears of affliction and suffering. Then also another source of tears, as I mentioned at the start, is the tears of lost loved ones. Look in the Gospel of John with me, chapter 11. We read how the brother of Mary and Martha, Lazarus had died. Amen. John 11, beginning in verse 33, we read this. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, amen, Mary weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And we're told, Jesus wept. Jesus wept over the death of one that he loved, Lazarus. Amen. And then again we see Paul, I believe, cried. He shed tears. He shed tears of betrayal. Betrayal is another source of tears. Again, in 2 Timothy with me. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men, that's all men, forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. All men forsook Paul. Tears of betrayal, amen. I believe that Paul cried. He wept as he penned these words, amen. While on earth, my friend, Christ experienced all of these things. In the eyes of the world, he was a failure. We're told that he was despised, that he was rejected, amen. When he was arrested, his disciples abandoned him. On the cross, he suffered greatly. Why? Because his Father forsook him. We just saw in John chapter 11 that he, at the tomb of Lazarus, he wept. Oh yes, my friend, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is fully qualified to comfort us and able to wipe away all our tears. Oh, the joy, yes, the joy that you and I shall have in heaven. Every wrong shall be made right. Every pain, my friend, shall be healed. There shall be no more parting over there, but there shall be love and unity for all eternity. What a place heaven must be, amen. We see it's a place that death and sin can never go there. Amen. Look again in the book of Revelation with me. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. We read, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. That's right. Sin will not be there. Sin can never go there. Look in Revelation chapter 22 and verses 14 and 15 with me. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Amen. My friend, death and sin can never go there, amen? That's right. That's what we're told, my friend. We're told in God, amen, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen to that, amen. Then we also see, because there is no death and no sin, no tears can ever flow there, praise the Lord. We also see about heaven, it's the home of God, the residence of deity. We read in the book of Revelation, amen, Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation 21 and verses 22 and 23, John wrote down his vision when he said, I saw no temple therein, as he speaks about heaven, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Amen. You see, my friend, heaven is the eternal dwelling place of all saints, a land where there is fullness of joy and pleasure evermore. Look in Psalm chapter 16, or Psalm 16 with me. In Psalm number 16, we see why heaven is a place of fullness of joy and pleasure evermore. In Psalm 16, in verse number 11, Psalm 16:11, we read this, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, because we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend, heaven, its residents will stand face to face with Jesus Christ. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 with me. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 12, Paul wrote, he says, For now we see through a glass darkly. And that's true. We really don't know clearly what heaven is all about. We just have some pictures of heaven. He says, But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. All things will be made clear. Everything will be cleared up. Amen. About heaven, because we will stand face to face, amen, even though we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, amen, with the crucified one, face to face, amen, for the one who died for us. Oh, what a blessing, my friend, to be in his presence, the Lord Jesus Christ, for eternity, never to be separated ever again. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Now, what is the hand that shall wipe away our tears? Oh, it's a special hand, my friend. The hand that's going to wipe away all our tears in heaven. It's a special hand. You see, it's a hand that was once pierced with nails. Amen. It's a special hand. It's a suffering hand. A hand that was pierced with nails. A hand that was nailed to a cross. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he sends no ministering angel around to comfort his redeemed, but he is his own missionary. He will comfort us up there in heaven all by himself. Amen. That's right. His love ensures his people perfect joy. His power accomplishes the banishment of every woe, my friend. The immutability of his character and his promise to save to the uttermost is a guarantee of its performance. He that sits on the highest throne declares that he will make all things new. Amen. That's what he said in Revelation chapter 21. We just read it a moment ago. And God shall wipe away, Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen. He's going to make all things new. He says in verse 5 of Revelation 21, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. See, grief shall be banished away, for God shall wipe away all tears. Amen. Never again will we have to stand weeping over the graveside of a loved one. Amen. Never again. He's going to take away all grief. Amen. Wipe away all tears. And he would do it, and he will do it lovingly. As the brother born for adversity, he will come gently on his errand. Yes, my friend, as a high priest who is touched with our feelings of infirmity, he will bid our mourning cease. And when we feel his hands wiping our tears away, you know what? We will never regret that we shed them. He will do it effectively. Not only will he wipe away our tears lovingly, but effectively. After he dries our tears, unlike before, amen, our tears would come back. There would be another situation, amen, in our life to cry. But after he dries our tears, my friend, they will never come back. They will never return. You see, the reason for that is, each cause of tears shall be forever removed. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. You see, he will destroy sin. The tears of repentance, the tears of backsliding, and the tears of contrition shall be dried forever. You see, the only moisture on our cheeks, my friend, up there in heaven, will be the kisses of Christ and our loved ones who have come to greet us. Amen. This is the promise of God, that he will wipe away all our tears. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Therefore, it is true. The faith that can believe, it rests upon a rock, the rock of ages. The hope that stands on it as an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure. We can believe it because heaven, the Bible tells us, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot, nor one tittle of his word shall fail. Amen. God is going to wipe away our tears so that you and I, my friend, we might experience the brightness of his holy joy. Let's turn to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 with me. In Isaiah chapter 35, we want to look at one verse there, verse number 10. Isaiah 35:10. And we read, "And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, in sorrow and sighing shall flee away." That's God's promise. Amen. That's God's promise. That we shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The tearless heaven. What a comfort to know that. That someday there'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more suffering, my friend. We'll ever be in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all our grief and sorrow will be banished. Amen. And we'll have joy. Joy and peace and gladness forevermore. Because we will be eternally in His presence. The one who came from His glory in heaven to this sin-sick world and became a man, was born of a woman and became a man, humbled Himself. Amen. He was God, but He humbled Himself. He became a man, became a servant. Amen. And He lived a sinless life. Amen. And He was crucified. Amen. He was put to death. He shed His precious blood. It was God's blood that was shed for you and shed for me. And He was buried. And He rose again the third day. Why? To save you and to save me from going to a sinner's hell. My friend listening today, has there ever been a time or in your life where you realize that you were a sinner? And because of your sins, if you were to die, that you'd go to hell. Because after all, the Bible tells us, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And the result of our sin, the payment for our sin, is for the wages of sin is death. We're not just talking about physical death, but more importantly, a spiritual death. Eternal separation from God in a lake of fire for eternity. But you don't have to go there, my friend, because the Bible tells us, "But God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." If you'll simply come by faith, amen, humble yourself as a little child, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, ask His forgiveness, and receive His payment, His shed blood for the payment of your sins. Receive that payment, trusting in Him only to save you. And ask Him to save you and to come into your heart. Amen. Won't you do that today? If you do that today, if you call upon the name of the Lord, as the Scripture says, thou shalt be saved. Well, my friends, once again, that's all the time that we have on the Bible study today. And I really appreciate each and every one of you joining me, Brother Gino Cassieri. Until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, my prayer is that God will richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.